I ask you to turn to 2 Timothy and want to talk about the elements of a strong spiritual life as Paul is talking to the young preacher Timothy. Timothy is evidently having some difficulty. He's kind of crab walking, as it were. He's pastoring the church at Ephesus. He's a young man, and so there's a lot of persecution going on. Timothy is struggling with some doubts. Maybe there's some doctrine that he's not quite as sound in as he ought to be. As you read the admonition in the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, you pick up on a few of these things. And he's just encouraging him to be the man of God that God called you to be, Timothy. Don't try to do things in your own strength. You know, a lot of times we have that tendency. We're just wired that way before sin. We have that tendency to want to get in that comfort zone after we're saved, kind of help God out, you know. And God's not interested in helping him out. He's interested. Christ is living his life through us. And that's all the difference in the world. And so perhaps Timothy has lost sight of some of this. In the midst of all this, he's got his youth he's struggling with. He's probably wondering, what in the world am I doing? Paul, on the other hand, as I understand, this is his last letter that he wrote. Paul's time is getting closer. And evidently he kind of feels that. And so he's raised Timothy. He calls him his son in the ministry. Evidently, Timothy has come to know Christ under his ministry, and so he's taken him under his wing, and he's seen that he's got the call of God on his life to preach the Word of God. And so Paul is pouring his life into him. He's not holding anything back. He said, Timothy, I love you too much to let these things go unspoken. And I want to encourage you, and in the midst of that, I'm going to give you some things that you're going to need to preach the Word of God. And before we get too far in this, I want you to understand, a lot of times people have a tendency to cut things off. Well, that's one preacher talking to another preacher, but that preacher's going to be talking to you. So it's all for us. Whatever's good for Timothy is good for you and me, because we have semblances. We may not have a gospel ministry. You may not be called to pastor a church, but you've got a ministry. You remember, I always remember 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. When we've been made new creatures, what afterward follows, he said, we have the ministry of reconciliation. And so we have a word of reconciliation. So there's ministry, teaching, and all that that's going on. And so what's good for the goose is good for the gander, as it were. And so as we read this, let us read it with the understanding that it's not just about Paul and Timothy, but the reason the Word of God is preserved and put in our hands is something that we can glean from this. So we also are going to uncover the elements that make a strong spiritual life. And so that's very good. And what I want to do is just quickly read through. I'll try to quickly read through the first chapter. And really what I want to get to is the second chapter and the beginning verses there, actually verses 1 through 7, and kind of deal with those. May not get through with that today. May not even get to that today. But we'll see where the Lord leads us. But to get there, I want you to see how Paul, with his second letter, is addressing Timothy. And just pick up on some of the things. And remember that Paul is, in this letter, addressing Timothy specifically. So don't lose sight of that, so that we can pick up on some of the things that Paul is addressing in Timothy's life, so that he might be encouraged in preaching the Word of God. So let us begin in 2 Timothy, in the first chapter, with the first verse. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. I want you to get all the encouragement there and see the setting there that he's talking about. He's already told him twice about Jesus Christ and the will of God. And so he's surrounding him, as it were, with the sovereignty of God. He said, you know, God doesn't make mistakes when he calls us. He's really just, in that opening statement, reassuring Timothy of what Timothy really already knows, that he's been called of God. But preachers need to be encouraged and reminded of that from time to time. You know, there was a time that I got out of the ministry because I thought maybe I'd made the mistake of getting into the ministry part when maybe I was just a teacher or maybe it's some other kind of gift. So I went through a lot of different things there through that process to come to the conclusion that God had indeed called me to the ministry. Paul's trying to keep Timothy from doing this. He said, I don't want you. Time's short. We need men of God that are called of God. Paul has already seen the call of God on his life, and he doesn't want Timothy to go the other way. There's a shortage of preachers here, and said, I want you to be preaching the Word of God, if indeed you've been called. And Paul is assured in his heart that Timothy's been called of God to preach the gospel. So just that opening statement, there's a lot of encouragement, understanding who it is that we have to do with. So he says, not only encouraging him with that, but he also says to Timothy, a beloved son. Paul said, I love you, Timothy. I love you. I die for you. He said, I want to pour what God has done for me into your life that you might understand that calling that's on your life. And so he begins. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. And so Paul is reiterating some things already. He said, I've got a pure conscience about this thing. I'm serving God in purity. And then Paul is not saying perfect sinlessness. That goes without saying, doesn't it? Because he's still in the tabernacle place. But he's saying his heart towards God has got a pure conscience. He's preaching what God would have him to do. He said, I've given myself to it, and as best I know how, I'm doing that. And he said, as my forefathers did, without ceasing, he said, I want to remind you of something, Timothy, that you're not alone out there on the battlefield. I want you to understand this. And it's not just Paul, there's others. But Paul says specifically, I cease not in my prayers to pray for you day and night. I'm going to tell you, when somebody tells you that, aren't you greatly encouraged by that? Me and Mayo was talking about some of the difficulties he has with his diabetes. And he said, you know, he said he's encouraged because others are praying for him. He has different churches praying, and he's praying. And he's encouraged by that, when people understand that. We all are encouraged when people are just thinking about us, more so when they're putting our lives before God. God bless them. I mean, you know, they're going through some difficult times. Bless them, Lord. Just show yourself strong in a circumstance. We take great encouragement from that. And so Paul is being particular as he's writing this. And remember, you know, you're not just filling a thing up with ink here. Every word has a good, deep meaning to it. And so Paul is communicating to Timothy some of the things that he's been encouraged by and reminding him of who he is in Christ, and that he ought to be encouraged. And so he says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. So Paul there again, pausing. I knew I probably couldn't get through a simple reading of this. I'm probably just going to preach it verse by verse. He already there again encourages Timothy. Timothy needs encouragement. He said, your genuine faith. Paul said, I've observed your lifestyle. And I've seen the fruit of the Spirit manifest in your life, Timothy. And so I just want to remind you, and I want you to call into remembrance these things. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, and he adds some things to it that's very, very encouraging, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. That persuaded is the same word that's used over there in Romans when he said he was persuaded that nothing would separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he's reminding him, you're a blessed man. Did you know you've come from generations of genuine, loving, fighting in the heat of the battle Christians? Your grandmother was a godly woman. Your mother was a godly woman. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that you're a godly man. Just encouragement after encouragement in Timothy's life. And so therefore, he said, I remind you, if it hadn't already stirred up after he's read this, he's going to say it, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, the laying on of his hands didn't give him that gift, just a recognition of that gift upon him. God gave him the gift. And so he's giving him all this, that Timothy, I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be overcome with the things of the world. Don't be entangled with the affairs of life. I want you to stir up the gift. Remember, Timothy, when God called you to the ministry. Remember what this is all about. Stir up that gift. It's a great gift. It's a great calling on your life to be able to handle and preach and teach the Word of God. And so, if that's not enough, he goes on to say in verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. See, that makes you, when you read that and you remember that he's talking to Timothy, it makes you think that Timothy had gotten somewhat fearful, hadn't he? You just see that when you read that and you begin realizing what Paul is saying as he's trying to encourage Timothy. Maybe there was some fearfulness. And I would say, sure, there was some fearfulness. I've had it. Brother Reggie's had it. Every man that's ever preached the Word of God has had fearfulness in his life. It's a hindrance. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. He wants him to remember the source that that's coming from is not from God. God is for you. He's called you and he's equipped you to preach the Word of God. And so that spirit of fear comes from none other than old Satan. He's the one that wants to destroy and tear down. But this is what God has given you, Timothy. I want you to understand. He has given you the spirit of power. He has given you the spirit of love. And he's also given you the spirit of a sound mind. Now, you know, all Timothy needed to do is just pause there for a minute. You know, when in the Psalms, we read some of the Psalms that has a little thing called Selah. You know, and that's a pause there. And I don't know if that's for the music part of it, I guess. But pause also means reflect on. And here would have been a good place to put Selah if they'd used it in the Greek. Just pause and think about what God has done for you, Timothy. God has saved you from a life of sin, set you on a solid ground, and He called you to preach His glorious gospel. And He hadn't just left you to figure that out, Timothy. Don't be fearful, and don't think that what you've begun in the Spirit, you're going to finish in the flesh. Don't lean on your own strengths. I know you're beginning to uncover your gifts and your talents, but God doesn't want us to discover those and then go in our own strength with those. The reason we uncover them is to understand what God has equipped us with, and then that's developed through the Spirit of God, through faith and through the parts of the fruit of the Spirit. That's how it's come forth. He said, but God's giving you power, Timothy. Understand that as a man of God, you've been called by God. He's not going to leave you defenseless. He's empowered you through the Holy Spirit to preach the truth of the Word of God. Now be encouraged in that, Timothy. Okay? And then he said, also, he's given you the power of love. Oh man, I'm telling you, it's one thing to teach the truth, isn't it? But it's another thing altogether to teach the truth in love. Man, I'm telling you, I receive it so much better when somebody teaches me when I have error in my life, and they lovingly teach me the truth of God's Word. Don't you take that a lot better? Sure. You take, it's like when we used to have to take that old awful medicine back there, you know, in the old days. They make you take that old stuff, and Mama put a little sugar on that and say, hey, I go down a little bit better. Well, that's what teaching the truth and love does. It endures us. It causes us to listen in humility, to be corrected, perhaps, if that's what we need. But if it's done in love, that's so much easier to receive. It's so much easier to receive. God, Paul is saying to Timothy, He's equipped you with this spirit of love. Don't you worry about those that's going to reject the gospel. Don't worry about those that's going to stone you if they get a chance. Don't worry about those that talk about you like a dog. Don't worry about that. You have the spirit of love. And love conquers all things, doesn't the Bible say? He said, overcomes all of it. He said, so that's God, Timothy, I want you to understand, you're powerful through God. You're a loving man through God. Understand those. And you have a sound mind. So if Timothy has erred a little bit in some of the things that he's taught, maybe the Judaizers have come in and trying to manipulate him a little bit, whatever the case may be, I don't know. But he's just saying, don't listen to them, Timothy. Remember, God has called you and God has equipped you. You're powerful, you're loving, and you also have a sound mind. What does that mean? You have sound reasoning abilities through the power of the Holy Spirit. As God has given you the Scripture, as He's revealed those things to you, this is who you are in Him. This is what God has made you to be. Be encouraged in that, Timothy. Understand that and be encouraged. And then go ahead and preach the Word of God. Preach it like it should be. And so he says in verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. There again, he puts the power of God in there. Boy, when you're talking about sufferings and all those things, a little bit of persecution, you need that little insert there, the power of God. You need to be reminded that God's in the midst of it. Because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't take long to shrink back when there's a lot of suffering. When somebody's coming at you and they're ill and they're mad and maybe they don't believe what you say and they're coming full tilt, you got to remember you got the power of God. God has raised you up to defend the truth and to speak the truth in love, in power, and with a sound mind. He said, remember that. Remember that. And then he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord nor of me. It sounds like Timothy may have gotten a little shy in his speaking. Maybe, maybe not, but you kind of pick up on that a little bit. So Paul is just reminding him, don't be ashamed of me, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. And he says, share with me because he is going to suffer because he preaches the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no way around that. He says in another place, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution. And say, might it was. Shall suffer persecution. That's the lot of the Christian. Then when you take a stand for righteousness, somebody's not going to like it. And probably a lot of somebodies are not going to like it. Now, we don't have to get up and make ourselves a target. We'll be a target enough without seeking it out. But there are times where you're going to have to stand, and you're going to be the only one standing. You'll be like Elijah moaned and groaned, Lord, I'm the only one left out there. And God's going to gracefully remind us, Elijah, I got 7,000 prophets over that haven't bowed their knee to the image of Baal. Don't you got company? But the main thing is he's got God. God filling me, and that's what Paul is trying, I think, relating in this message, in this letter to Timothy. You have God, that's all you need. You don't need anybody else. But he's also saying that he's had some good fellowship, hadn't he? He's had your grandmother, your mother. You've got the body of Christ. You've got those faithful believers that love the truth and embrace it and need to hear the truth of God. Speak up and preach the Word of God. And so he reminds him then of salvation and how God has graciously procured it when he says, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began or before the world began. Again, it seems to be reminding him you have a holy calling on you. And I talked about that, I think, last week or a couple of weeks. There's two ways you can look at that. Whatever God calls, when it comes out of His mouth and He calls to you, that's a holy calling. But we also have received that holy calling, and we're to walk in holiness to the honor and the glory of God. Christians are holy people. We're not trying to be holy. God said, you are a holy people unto me. And if we're not portraying that, then something's wrong with our connection somewhere. We need to find out what's going on. And so we are holy people. And so he reminds him that he has a holy calling. And it's not according to our works. There again, Timothy may have been taking some of this on himself and then feeling that he had to do this and he had to do that. I felt that way. Early in my ministry, I thought God's people, when you preach the Word of God, they just conform to it. And if they didn't, then you need to kind of beat them with a rod a little bit and make them do what they're supposed to do. That's not my job. That's God's job. I preach the Word of God. It falls where it will. I labor with the flock. And if they're in error, then I'm to graciously go to them, just as Paul has mentioned, in the spirit of love and power and a sound mind, and sit down and talk about that and trust that they'll receive that and be saved by that in turn. But for me to change somebody's life, that's not, God didn't call me to do that. I just preach the Word. And the Word is what changes. The Spirit of God is what changes lives. And so it's not by my efforts that I'm going to change. If it was by my efforts, I'd have a lot of Joey Miller converts. And I'm going to tell you, that wouldn't be a pretty sight. It wouldn't be a pretty sight. Just because they're following Joey, it'd be like saying, well, I believe that because my pastor said that. Well, I'll get on to y'all if I ever say that to somebody. You believe that because the Word of God says that. Now, your pastor may be preaching, that's well and good. But the Word of God, I believe what I believe because God's Word says that's what it is. And that's why we believe that. That's why we believe that. So he's really there again reiterating, God's not interested in you following in your own strength. Remember, it's God who saves you. How did you get saved, Timothy? Well, I didn't say I'm going to save myself. God drew me, and by faith I embraced Jesus Christ, my Lord. So it's not in my own strength. So he's just reminding him there again that salvation is not according to your works, but God has saved us according to His own purposes. We were talking about purposes a while ago, and how what a blessing it is early on in your Christian life if you can understand that God is a God of purpose. A lot of people say, well, I'm so lucky that this happened in my life. Or, you know, the chances were miraculous, but this happened in my life. No. No such thing as luck or chance. That's a man-made fallen terminology. No such thing. God orchestrates the circumstances of our lives. When you understand early on that God is a God of purpose, that He has a purpose for you, if you've been called with a holy calling, if God has called you out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light, you have a holy calling on you and you have a life of purpose that God desires you to fulfill. And fulfill it you will. God will orchestrate circumstances if we stray to the left or stray to the right that will bring us back to the path that God has chosen for us. That's how much He loves us. That's the love of God. And when we begin to understand that, we may not understand the circumstances. We may not. We may wonder why. Why is this happening to me? But the greater is that we embrace that in the spiritual sense by faith. Well, I don't understand it, but God knows. And I love my God. He delivered me in the past. And we began thinking about all those that had past deliverance. We think about our friends that have been delivered from circumstances, perhaps still in the circumstances, but they're rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we rejoice in that. And we're moved by that. And we understand that God is not haphazard, that He has orchestrated circumstances in our lives to bring Him honor and glory. And there's nothing that you're ever going to do on the face of the earth that can do any more than that, is to bring honor and glory to your God. Greatest purpose that you can have is to bring honor and glory to His name. So he's being reminded, even in this fundamental teaching about being chosen in Christ and talking about the grace of God, he said, according to His purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, reminding again of the power source before time was and has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher for the Gentiles. And this is what he's saying there now. He said, he's abolished death. And what did he do? He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Remember, Timothy, God called you to do this, to preach this message, that Jesus Christ has brought that life. How do you do that, Timothy? You preach the Word of God. Remember, you preach with that sound mind, that power, and that love. Preach that message. Be encouraged in that. Preach that. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season, he'll say later on. He's just reminding him again. There's times when people are going to receive it and shout hallelujah and amen. And then there's some messages God says is going to put on your heart that you're going to preach that doesn't go over with the amens and hallelujahs so much. But it's still necessary. And God's people want to hear it. They don't just need to hear it. They want to hear it because they want to serve God in spirit and in truth. Those who just want to have their ears tickled, they'll go somewhere and get their ears tickled. But those that are truly Christian want to hear what the Word of God says about living a godly life because they want to glorify God. Amen. That's what God's people do. That's what they want. And so he's reminding him again, this is the message that he preaches. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Reminding there again, Timothy, that he's a teacher and that he's appointed to preach. For this reason, I also suffer these things. I remind him again, Timothy, I know we've had some conversations about this suffering thing, but I want to remind you again that what God has called you to do is going to require an awful lot of suffering. An awful lot. A tremendous amount of persecution, a lot of doubt, all the things that you're experiencing, the temptations you're experiencing, all of this is in it. But I want you to know that God is more than able to deliver you and use you in the midst of all these things. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. What a great passage of Scripture. You almost want to sing it when you say it. You sing it a couple of times, all for a preacher, just to say this without singing it. He said, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. You know, it's one thing to believe something. It's altogether another thing to be persuaded in what you believe. I'm going to tell you, you're right on line when you're persuaded in that thing. When you're persuaded about the principles of God, it strengthens you. It helps you to understand this is the characteristics now that I have as a son of the living God or a daughter of the living God. This is who I am. This is who God has called me to be. And I'm persuaded that that's what God said. By His grace, He's made me to be that so I can function this way. I no longer have to function like I used to. I function in faith, and this is who I am, and this is what manifests the glory of God. This is what He's saying. I'm persuaded. I know whom I believed and am persuaded. What are you persuaded of, Paul? That's that word again, isn't it? That He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Is it going to end? No. I'm persuaded that God has called me. He's going to see me through the whole way. He's going to see me through the whole way. He's going to enable me. What God has called me to do, whether I be a one-talent preacher or a multi-talented preacher, God is going to see me through. You see? Doesn't matter about whether I'm one talented or 2,000 talented. I don't know of any 2,000 talented ones. But anyway, it doesn't matter about that. That's not it. The thing is the glory of God. If I've got one talent, use that talent to the glory of God. If I've got three, use it to the glory of God. Whatever you've got, use it all to the glory of God. So there's an encouragement here to Timothy. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. Now He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul is not just saying it's all about me, what I told you. You know, Paul, when he says that you've heard from me, you know what he's really saying, because we see it in another portion of Scripture. Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. So Paul is not calling attention to himself. Anytime you see that terminology, he's just simply saving a few words, but we understand what Paul is saying. You don't follow me unless I'm following my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who the great example is. And if you see that in me, well and good. But give the glory to God, because that's where it comes from. And so he says, Timothy, you're going to have to preach the Word. We're in trying times. The church is being persecuted. You're being persecuted. Some of them say you're too young to be a preacher anyhow. They ain't going to have it. You know, they're just those deacons. They're a lot older than you. You tell them what to do. They don't like that. And so you're too young to know what to do. Forget all that. You hold fast the pattern of sound words. Preach the Word. Speak the truth. If you have to do it with your knees knocking, doesn't matter. Speak the truth. Doesn't matter about my knees, not doesn't matter about my outward appearance or anything. Speak the Word of God. That's what stands sure and steadfast. So He's telling me to do that. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ. Isn't that wonderful that He put in faith and love? It's not just enough that we know it up here and hold fast in it, because that's not going to do us a whole lot of good. The Word is powerful. But He's saying, in faith, you believe what you're teaching. You believe what you're... And you're loving the body of Christ. You're loving God because you're standing fast in all this. In spite of it all, you stand fast. In faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Notice how He always brings it back around to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all about being in Christ. See? So Timothy evidently is needing to be encouraged that he's been kind of walking on his own strength perhaps a little bit, but he's reminding him it's all about Jesus. It's all in Him. It's all the strength is in Him. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Timothy, don't do it in your own strength. Remember that good thing. What is it? That calling. That which is God has called you to do. That which was committed to you, God gave that to you. He commissioned those who preach His Word. He commissions us to go forth and preach the Word. Go preach the gospel in all the world. Wherever that platform leads us, whatever kind of platform that is. That's what we're supposed to do. Speak the Word. Whether I'm at work, here, at home, preach the Word. That's my platform that God has given. That's my commission to do. And so he's saying and reminding him of the same thing. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by your own strength who dwells in you. No, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Now remember, Paul talks to the church at Ephesus, and we've talked about this many times. He tells them to be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is why we're to be filled with the Spirit. That empowers us to do what the Word of God commands us to do. That's where our power comes from living the Christian life, is the person of the Holy Spirit. We call Him an it sometimes. We shouldn't do that. It's He. The Holy Spirit is a He. He's a person of the Holy Spirit. We have a tendency to do that. That good thing which was committed you keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Timothy, you're not left alone. How do I know that, Paul? Well, I just told you the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He lives in you. He abides within you. And so He's not going anywhere. So He's there. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phlegias and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he might find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Now he's talking about somebody had turned away. He said, this is a common thing, Timothy. Understand that there are going to be a lot. There are going to be some that's going to break your heart. You thought was just right with you every step of the way, and it came to the Word of God, and you spoke the Word of God in truth and power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit and in love, and they turned and went another way, and your heart's going to be broken. And so they may not just leave you, they may come back and persecute you. And say, you're teaching false stuff. You're wrong. You're off the deep end. You need to leave that sovereignty of God alone and election and all that. You're crazy. That's not what the Word teaches. It is what the Word teaches. But people think you're strange. People that you have a great affection for will leave you. And they may come back and even rend you sometimes. But he says, have mercy on them. But he talks about Onesiphorus, if that's the way you pronounce that. He said, he refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Even when Paul was in prison, he came and ministered to him. Now listen, that wasn't just like like we would go visit somebody in prison. Maybe we know somebody in prison, we go and visit them. We don't have any problem, but I mean, we go and we try to do good to them or whatever it is we do, and we can come back without any implications that we might lose our life because we visited somebody in prison. Now see, this is different. Paul was being persecuted for the gospel. And anybody that came and associated him was really laying their head on the line because they were stamping Christians out right and left. But you know what? The more they stamped them out, the greater the cause grew. Because you can't stamp out that which God has ordained to be so. And so we see him faithfully ministering to Paul. What does that do for Timothy? Timothy, if you get in a hard spot, you know what? The same events that happened to me where people came to me and ministered to me, did you know the same thing's going to happen to you? God's not going to leave you by yourself. God's not going to leave you by yourself. He'll make a way to minister to you, and it'll surprise you at the ones that come to minister to you. He said he was faithful. So faithful this slave was that when he came to Rome, said he zealously looked for Paul. He didn't care if he lost his life. He loved Paul. And he loved Paul for what Paul stood for. The cause of truth. And because he preached the Word of God and the cause of Jesus Christ, he desired that. He said, Timothy, you're going to have the same kind of people following after you. They're hungry for the Word of God. They're so hungry that they would rather hear the Word of God at the risk of their life than not hear it and perish because they haven't heard it. They desire to know it, that their lives would be changed and that they might better embrace their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul says, Timothy, there are people out there that are hungry for it. They want it. And sometimes you may be in prison. Sometimes you may be by yourself, but God will raise somebody up and they'll diligently search you out. And in my times of doubt, I've told you before, I had one brother that continuously came by my house. And I was kind of in a spirit of bitterness there for a while. And really didn't want to talk to him that much, but didn't want to hurt his feelings. I was kind of a nice guy about that. But he loved me, and he even said, he said, you know, Joey, said, I know you probably don't want to talk about nothing right now. I just want you to know that I love you. I just want you to know that I pray for you. I just want you to know I'll do whatever it takes to minister to you. I'm going to tell you, that's great encouragement in a dark time in my life. Now, how many of you have had those things? People have come. Maybe it was a word fitly spoken. And maybe it was just in a circumstance that you never would have thought possible, but you heard the word of truth from someone's mouth. And you know God sent them by. God sent them by just the right time. Heard Brother Reggie say one day that he was thanking for the cards that he got, and he said, I got one at just the right time. I needed it just then, and he opened it up, and it's just what he needed to hear. That's happened many times in my life, Brother Reggie. And I know it's been happening in y'all's life too, where God knows just what His saints need. Paul was encouraging Timothy to know this is what you're part of. This is that grand plan of God. This is what God has called you for. Don't be weak. Don't falter. Don't turn your back on it. Don't be caught up in the ways of the world. Don't be tempted with youthful lust. Don't turn your back on all the things that God has called you to do. I just want you to remember, Timothy, what God has called you to do. And as he did that, he was sharing his testimony. And it had to be a great encouragement to Timothy to read this letter. It had to be a great encouragement to strengthen him in his time of need. And so then he goes on, and I knew I'd probably just get to it, just the introductory part. He gets to the second chapter, and this is really what I wanted to preach about, and I don't preach about it this morning, but we'll get back to it. You therefore, my son, and this is what he instructs him in. We're talking about the elements of a strong spiritual life, and there's four things in here specifically I want us to see. But listen to what he says. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't depend on your own strength. Be strong in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He gives grace sufficient. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. One of the elements of a strong spiritual life is that we're teachers, you see. He's saying you're teachers. You have had others to teach you. Now you teach others that they may teach others. That's the way the body of Christ functions. We don't look at it that way, but we are teachers. But what we have learned, what God has blessed us to see, whether it's from hearing the Word of God or individual studies, where the Holy Spirit has revealed the Word to us, and it is, in fact, the truth, we're duty-bound to share that with others, that they might know the truth. Because Jesus said the truth will set you free, won't it? The truth, well, there's nothing else that will set you free like the truth will. Everything else tenders to bondage. But the truth will make you free, is what the Word of God says. And so he says, you're a teacher. Teach others. That's the first thing. And you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're soldiers. Make no doubt about it. We're at war. You know, we're at war. Where the enemy hates you, and the world hates you. They may tolerate you, but they hate you. If you get down to the nitty-gritty, they hate you. So you're at war. So you're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling Timothy that's what you are. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He said you have a commander-in-chief and you're to please him, him alone. Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, if we might use that phrase. Thirdly, he says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We're athletes. We're running the race. Running the race. And the way we know we're running the race is how we do it. Is it, can we run it any which way? Can we do, I think of the rabbit and the turtle, you know, and I used to see a cartoon where the rabbit would just run, you know, the old tortoise, he'd just kind of go along And now the rabbit just take a rest, and you know how he'd rest. And he said, I'm way ahead of the turtle. And he sees the turtle way ahead, and boy, he'd take off again. And they found out there's a bunch of turtles. You know, and they just messed him up. They cheated. They didn't go by the rules. But you see, he's saying we have a different race to run. We run it by the guidelines of God. God loves us so much, He's giving us loving guidelines. He's given us the law that we might keep it to His honor and glory. That's a law that condemns us. But now, it's that law that David said, I delight in His law, and I meditate upon those truths day and night. That's what he says. And so we're running the race with rules. And lastly, the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So we're farmers. We're plowing along. If any of you is farming, I'm a city boy. I've tried my hand at farming one time. We planted about 10 crops up in Red Hill one day. And me and my brother-in-law and Don Zaka giggling. And we had our corn in the shade all day long. Just the most pitiful thing you ever see in your life. Because I'm a city boy. I don't know nothing about farming. But now God says I do know something about farming and about understanding. You know what farming is? It's not the most exciting life in the world. It's a day by day, moment by moment, continuing to go, persevering, going, growing. And what you're looking for? You're looking for that fruit, aren't you? Just going and investing. And so He's given us four terminologies here. And then He says, consider what I say. Think about this, Timothy. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I'll elaborate on that next week. We'll just begin talking about those four different sections, the elements of a strong spiritual life. God help us to understand what a blessed God that we serve. Timothy was being reminded by Paul, you've been called to preach the gospel. And I'll remind you, as members of the body of Christ, you've been called to teach, you've been called to be a soldier, you've been called to be all these things, a farmer and an athlete, to run the race, to do it all for the glory of God. God bless us to understand that. It's my prayer for Christ's sake.